Dear faithful, today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, the first chapter. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and that in my bonds, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the love of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice, through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went out and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or no? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me a coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. But though we, or even an angel from heaven, preach a gospel to you besides that which we have preached, let him be anathema. These words are taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, I wanted to depart from the gospel and epistle for the Mass and speak to you instead about a topic which has caused some controversy in recent years. And the purpose for speaking about this topic is twofold. First, to reaffirm the traditional and centuries-old teaching of the Church. And second, it is to emphasize the goodness and the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is the heart of God himself. I wanted to speak to you today about the Catholic teaching concerning baptism of desire and of blood. During World War II, there was a young man in the United States Air Force by the name of Arthur Girard, and Arthur Girard was a fighter pilot. He was a very good pilot. He was a good man who loved his country and loved his fellow man. Arthur Girard was not a Catholic. However, he soon came to know a Catholic chaplain in the Air Force by the name of Father McNamara. Father McNamara befriended this young fighter pilot, and their conversations soon turned to religion. Because Arthur was an honest and objective young man, he soon saw the reasonableness of the Church's teachings. And he asked Father McNamara for instructions in the Catholic faith. So in between missions and drills, the two men, the priest and this fighter pilot, would meet with their little catechism books to talk through the faith, to pray together, and to ask and to answer questions. And in time, Arthur Girard became convinced that the Catholic Church was the one true church established by Jesus Christ, who was God himself. He was convinced, and so he asked to be baptized. Father McNamara scheduled the baptism. It was to take place immediately after Mass on a particular morning. However, the night before, Arthur was informed that he would have to miss Mass. He was to fly his plane as part of a military salute to a number of deceased pilots. Orders were orders, but this young pilot informed Father McNamara that he had no intention of postponing his baptism. It would be a quick flight, and he would meet Father immediately afterwards and go through with the baptism as planned. Well, morning dawned, the planes roared into the air, and they performed their salute. But Arthur Gerard did not return from that flight. In the middle of the performance, something malfunctioned in his plane, and he spiraled out of control toward the earth. And in a few moments, the young pilot was in eternity with his fallen comrades. And instead of administering a baptism that morning, Father McNamara was officiating at a funeral. It was a beautiful Catholic requiem mass with all the prayers and devotions that are proper to a Catholic burial. And every man of the base, Catholic and non-Catholic, attended that funeral. And in a voice that was choked with emotion, the priest extolled the young man for his bravery, his patriotism, his love for God, his family, and so on. And the priest took the opportunity to explain to those assembled men the little known or perhaps the little understood doctrine of baptism of desire. And he also shared with the men a conversation he had had with Arthur just before he took to the sky for the last time. Arthur told me how much he was looking forward to baptism, to practicing the Catholic faith in all its fullness, and receiving the other sacraments, Father explained. As Arthur spoke to me, his eyes rested on a crucifix hanging on the wall of my office. He went over and took this crucifix down from its place, and he looked at it for a long while. Father, Arthur said to me, this cross is the sign of salvation. It's Christ's promise that someday we will go to heaven with him. You know, Father, I can't wait to be baptized. And today, concluded the priest, this very hour, Arthur should have been baptized with water. But God has accepted his desire instead. My dear faithful, the reason that Father McNamara could speak with such confidence in this matter is because there are 2,000 years worth of history and tradition and official pronouncements by the Catholic Church as to the existence of baptism of water, desire, and of blood. Baptism of desire is the explicit or even the implicit desire for baptism of water, together with perfect contrition or sorrow for sin. Baptism of blood is the martyrdom of an unbaptized person. That is when an unbaptized person gives his or her life for the faith of Christ in which he believes. And it is the teaching of the Church that in case of emergency, baptism of water can be replaced by baptism of desire or of blood. baptism of water cannot be had for whatever reason, if a person is unable to be baptized with water through no fault of his own, and such a person desires to be baptized and makes an act of contrition for his past sins, or if such a person should shed his blood for his faith in Christ, that person will be put in the state of sanctifying grace by God, just as though he had actually been baptized by water. And the reason for this is that while baptism of water is the ordinary means of conveying sanctifying grace to the soul, which is dead in original sin, the almighty power of God is not limited, so to speak, by the sacraments that he instituted. He can produce the effects of the sacraments directly in the soul. It's very easy for him to do that. But how was it that this very clear teaching of the church became a controversy? Well, as you may know, less than 100 years ago now, an American priest by the name of Father Leonard Feeney began to teach a twisted and distorted notion of the dogma that outside the church there is no salvation. And that is a dogma of the church. Outside the Catholic Church, founded by Christ, there is no salvation. However, Father Feeney erroneously taught that actual baptism by water was the only way a person could be incorporated into the Catholic Church. You know, he admitted that baptism of desire or of blood could remit original sin and put a person in the state of sanctifying grace. Father Feeney believed in baptism of desire and of blood. But he taught only baptism of water could effect salvation. His exact words were, baptism of water or damnation. And so you can see how serious his error actually was. He actually taught that God could condemn a soul to hell, a soul in the state of sanctifying grace, a soul that was in the state of sanctifying grace thanks to baptism of desire or of blood. Father Feeney said God would send that soul to hell for all eternity unless that person physically had water poured over his head. That soul is in a state of friendship with God. It has sanctifying grace, which is the divine, a participation in the divine life of God himself. It has the theological virtues, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Father Feeney said, if water is not poured over that person's head, that soul in the state of grace is going to hell. That is a very grave error against Catholic teaching, and is a very great insult to the goodness of the Sacred Heart. Father Feeney was condemned and excommunicated by the Holy Office under Pope Pius XII in 1953. And yet there are some today, some so-called traditional Catholics who follow his errors. Some so-called traditional Catholics who see Father Feeney as a hero of the faith, defending the church against modernist teachings because he was defending the dogma that outside the church there is no salvation. That is simply not true. While Father Feeney may have thought he was defending the church against liberals and modernists, he was attacking the faith just as they were. Father Feeney was preaching a new gospel. This new gospel contradicted 2,000 years of church teaching and tradition. St. Ambrose in the 4th century writes of baptism of desire, as it does St. Augustine. St. Emerenciana, who was the foster sister of St. Agnes, she was put to death, martyred as a catechumen. She had not been baptized yet, and yet the church canonized her and honors her as a martyr. St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Alphonsus, all doctors of the church, they all maintain that baptism of desire or of blood may suffice for salvation if baptism of water is not available. This was defined at the Council of Trent. It was taught by the catechisms published by the church. It was taught by Pope Pius IX, Pope Pius XII. And as I mentioned, the errors of Father Feeney were condemned by the Holy Office under Pope Pius XII. And in that condemnation, we hear re-echoed the words of St. Paul from his epistle to the Galatians, "But though we, or even an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel to you besides that which we have preached, let him be anathema." St. Paul is saying, if anyone, even me, he says, if an angel from heaven tries to teach to you a new faith other than the one you have received, let that person be anathema. Let that person be damned, St. Paul says. I remember, and I'm sure you remember too, Bishop Kelly used to quote those words often. In his humility, he used to say, even in regard to himself, he would say, if I or if any of the priests try to teach you something other than you learned in your catechism, do not believe me. Do not listen to us. Hold fast to the traditions you have received. If anyone departs from the traditional teaching of the church, the teaching of her councils and the teaching of her saints, no matter how well-intentioned such a person may be, whether he's a liberal or a rigorist, that person is going to err. St. Paul says, hold fast to tradition. Do what the church always did, and you will be safe. You will persevere in your faith. My dear faithful, we who have the true faith and understand this consoling doctrine of baptism of desire and of blood, we can marvel at the goodness of God's divine providence, which makes such account of human frailty and weakness, and which takes into account circumstances which may arise outside of our control. A divine providence which sees the hearts of men, and in a moment can fill a soul with grace, even when all hope seems lost. And this is why we are never to despair over the salvation of anyone. We are to implore the Sacred Heart of Jesus to have mercy on poor sinners. We offer up sacrifices for them. And those whom we help save by our prayers will be there to greet us in heaven someday. And God willing, it will be a very great number. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.